Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello there, everyone. This is Dr. Shirley Canis of WSCIRO on Blog Talk Radio, as well as WSDKI-TV, but this is not a television show. This is a radio show. And it's been a while since we've actually did a broadcast, but we are on, and it's June. It's Sunday, June 14th. At approximately 6:05, and we do have a guest that is coming on. His name is Tim O'Leary. You've heard him before, you know, it's so funny how we just got into the summer months just like that. It was like you blinked your eye, and all of a sudden, here we are. So, let's see. Well, I want to just call upon the Holy Spirit to come and open our eyes and our hearts. And direct the flow of this radio broadcast. And we do have some good news here. We have an additional listener. And he's from the Facebook community. His name is Mike Tumello, Pastor Mike Tumello. And he has the Church at Work radio show. And he got on this week, okay? And I was able to show him the ropes of how easy it is to have your own radio show. And hopefully we're going to have John Michael Talbot, who many of you who are Catholic, or maybe some of you who are not. He doesn't originally come from a Catholic background, but he is Catholic, and he's a worshiper, and he's been in the music industry for years, and he has a little community called the Little Portion Hermitage in Arkansas, Utica, Arkansas, in unfortunately, they had a fire, and they are rebuilding again, but they do need funds. So if you want to go to johnmichaeltalbot.org, I think you can help him out there. But I'm trying to get him to do a radio show, so hopefully he can get more support, especially support worldwide. He's done much work in the area of working with the poor and those who are in need, and now they are in need, so... It would be very, very good. It would show great love to be able to help out his community. So there's a plug-in for his community as well. And we are going to open up our online school ministry, and we're going to start in October. We had several dates that we were looking at, and we are going to start in October, Monday, October 5th, and because I need the whole summer to tweak the curriculum and also the classroom structure that we're going to create in our studio. We're going to do this out of a side portion of our studio where we're going to develop it into a classroom-like situation. But this is all online, and so far it's looking very, very good. And the Lord had some surprises. Pastor Mike Tumello is the workplace chaplain of our school. And we have a couple of other people that became members. So right now we're just doing some advertising for it. It's called the SEEK International Leadership School of Ministry. And we have four phases, but this is specifically going to be for phase one because phase one is the key to the other phases, and it's the most important. Key because it's involved. It's the quadrant that is involved with the inner transformation of the inner man. So that is what we're going to be doing. I'm called to be praying and offering this up to the Lord for the summer months. And we would love to have taught it now, but we're just not ready. We're not there spiritually yet. So we want to be very obedient to what the Holy Spirit's saying to the church. And to the body of Christ in general, which can go beyond. We are from a Catholic background, so it can go beyond the Catholic Church, and you don't necessarily have to be Catholic to be part of our school, and that's the beauty of the whole thing. You could be coming from another place in the body of Christ, and you will get the same benefits because the Lord's not no respecter of persons, and it's all about releasing the inner man to do ministry. So there's a plug-in for our school and ministry. So anyways, we miss you all, and just want to say hi to all my friends and family. I do have family on Facebook, as well as subscribers and friends on YouTube, and also on Twitter. So it's just really wonderful to see how the Lord is utilizing the tools of social network and media to do wonderful exploits for him. Well, before Tim comes on, it looks like he's not on right now, but he will be as soon as I start talking about this. That's how these things work. I wanted to share with the viewing audience about a prophetic part of the prophetic word that we didn't speak about regarding John Kilpatrick's prophetic word from Pensacola, Florida, that he spoke about on Sid Roth. And the thing that kept really gnawing at my mind and heart was about the summer months, because there was a part of the prophetic word that even John Kilpatrick was questioning the Lord on, that was for the summer months and how, and tell my servants to pray to prepare against the summer months. And I questioned it because of the word against, and then I asked the Lord, Lord, just what did you mean by the summer months? And then I thought more of what he was getting regarding the food. All right, let's start with number one, against the summer months. Now we know that the Lord is spirit, and, you know, he created us on the earth as, you know, human beings made in his image, but we are spirit beings. But there's a language, all right, a spirit language that the Lord gives us to describe spiritual things. Okay, and here is Tim right now. Okay. Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
And good evening to you, Shirley. How are you tonight?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Good.
I was sharing with the viewing audience about, you know, we had done something, Jeff and I had done something last week on a guest that concerning John Kilpatrick and his prophecies for the summer months. He's from the Pensacola Revival, and Sid Roth had him on It's Supernatural, and, you know, and we talked in great detail about how the Lord was, what the Lord was showing us and how he wanted us to pray to that prophecy last week. So I just want to encourage you and audience to listen to that if they haven't, and you too, Tim, if you know, haven't gotten a chance. But one of the things I was talking about that really left a little question mark in my spirit was, I think you had a radio on in the back, something he said about against the summer months. And, you know, like the Lord saying, prepare against the summer months this summer. Very significant. Mm. And, you know, there was something about earthquakes and different things like that. But the prepare against the summer months, you know, and then he proceeded to say, get, you know, stock up on food, stock up on beans. It was something that was economical, an economic storm. But I was asking the Lord about the summer months because I was concerned about phraseology. You know, usually when you describe a spiritual, you know, like the prophetic is spiritual. And then spiritual language is more symbolic and descriptive and metaphoric. You mean it? And in the Old Testament, the New Testament, there's a part in Matthew, the book of Matthew, I believe it's like towards the end of the chapter, where the, you know, Jesus is given the prophecy of for the end times, and he says summer is nigh. You know, I pray that your flight is not in the winter. You know, but they said summer is nigh. You know,
What do you think he meant by that?
He was describing, and I'm going back to the prophecy from last week. Summer is more like the spiritual life is conveyed by the seasons in a person's life. You know, you got the season of winter, you know, season of spring. You know, it may not be technically spring, but the spiritual season, spring means new life. Summer means that there, you know, things are, you know, getting mature, you know, and they're, you know, they're coming into, you know, being ripe before the harvest, you see. So when when he said prepare against the summer, I really believe that there's a harvest that's coming, and I'm just getting this in the spirit right now. There's a harvest that's coming, and many people have prophesied into the harvest. And what happens in right around September window, October window, is that whatever you sowed in the previous season, you reap in the harvest. And so preparing against the summer means that, you know, you got to take precaution that everything is, you know, everything that's coming to full maturity, you know, in our character development and our spiritual development, you know, make sure that we are focused and make sure that we got, you know, we're getting our ducks in a row and we do what the Spirit is telling us to do, all right? I really don't think it has a lot to do with the physical realm, although the spiritual can always affect the physical, especially if we're not being obedient in the body of Christ to the Lord's Spirit. I really believe that this is a time where the Lord's going to unlock and open up spiritual ears so we can have a greater spiritual understanding of the body, and that there's going to be clusters and groups of people that come together in prayer, and the Holy Spirit, and the heavens are going to open up in a very powerful way. So I really believe that we are called to, you know, greater time to pray. That's why I feel that the Lord has shown me don't start the school ministry now, but in October, because we have to spend our time on our knees praying, getting our hearts ready for the Lord, and coming into that dimension and things like that. Wow, it just came to me, Tim, just now. You know, I was asking the Lord, and then the Lord was showing. He did show me when I woke up. He said, he showed me that there was going to be an economic distraction, okay? That's how he showed me, that people were going to be distracted from what they don't have, what they used to have, and, you know, and in the lap of the Lord saying to tell my people, don't look into what they used to have, look to what they're going to have in the Spirit. And, you know, but you know, it is good to plan, so you don't have to worry about food. Just stock up on beans and rice. So I was getting up and said, stock up on beans and rice, but don't worry. You know, this is not as bad as you don't want to be off guard. And then I got a little nosy. I'm like, well, why would we have to stock up on the beans and the rice, okay, and water? And he showed me the transportation, and that there was, because there's a move to change the car industry and all the vehicles to renew, to get those updated, that a lot of vehicles are going to be off the road because they don't know that they no longer comply with the EPA standards, because they, you know, there's a whole new set of vehicles that's coming on the market that they got to take the old vehicles off the road. And a lot of these are trucks that bring food into various states, into stores and stuff like that. So that might be held up a bit. There may be truck strikes because of this. There's going to be a lot of social turmoil regarding the economics, and this is pointing towards transportation. So that's what the Lord is showing. But the Lord is saying that we have to, you know, rice and beans would be the way to go, and stock up on the water, because there may be shortages in the stores because all that affects the stores. So that's what the Lord was showing me. So we just want to just pray into that. And that is not the basis behind this show, but just wanted to give a thumbs up spiritually, that do not get alarmed. Do not fear. Focus. Get on your knees. Go into your prayer closet. Do what the Holy Spirit is telling you, the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Because we will reap a great harvest in the fall, you know, in the fall of our lives and in the next season.
Well, that's something good to look forward to, being reaping a harvest in the fall. Yes. That's a wonderful thing, because that was kind of a little bit of an ominous prophecy for the summer months, but it sounds good for the fall.
Yeah, and we also have to pray for that Archimedes, who just got elected. Don't know if that was a legitimate election, but he got reelected into the Iran. Was hoping that other leader would become elected, because, you know, he would work more closely with the United States. But we, you know, God is bigger than all of this. So I think that's another reason why, as a body of Christ, we should be told, we should, these months should be months of prayer and fasting. So, but anyways, Tim, I just wanted to, you know, ask you how you're feeling, okay? And can you tell the viewing audience what, you know, just how, what the Holy Spirit did for you and how he intervened in your life in the last couple of days?
All right. It's going to be my pleasure.
Yeah.
As you know, Shirley, Shirley and I have been friends for many, many years now, through thick and thin. And Shirley has been just a wonderful person to me in the spirit and spiritually, a very, very good friend. And lately, in the last couple of months, I've suffered from a very severe case of clinical major depression. The diagnosis is actually called major depressive disorder. And
so you have to the viewing audience how, you know, what were some of the symptoms that you had developed?
Well, depression is, the way I describe it to people is, if you think of, say, you wake up on a Saturday morning and it's very, very cloudy and dark and it's raining and it's cold and it's damp and it's raw and it's just, you know, you don't even want to get out of bed. It's just a day that you have, it's just a miserable day and you just want to stay in bed. That is what is depression is like, except it is that way every day. It really impacts your ability to function in the world, to be able to work, to be able to have interpersonal relationships, to be able to feel good about yourself. And it's a real cross to bear, and I've had a, I'm clinically listed as having severe depression. And on Friday, this past Friday, just 2 days ago, you surely got a word from the Lord. He showed you me, and he revealed the extent of a lot of the anger that I have. And many times people will say that depression is actually anger, which is turned inward on the person, and that may be true. Certainly it may be true in my situation. There is a lot of anger in my heart, and the Lord showed that to you. And so you acted on that, and you called me on Friday afternoon, and we hadn't spoken for at least a week anyway. And
I think it was a couple of weeks, actually.
Probably a couple of weeks we haven't talked. And so out of the clear blue sky, you called, and it really spoke to my heart. It really really spoke to me. And I asked if I could come down and pray with you and because Friday night because I really needed it. And Jesus
tell,
was
tell
so...
Tell them why you needed it, you know, what state you were in.
Well, I actually had fallen down so bad in my depression that I was in a suicidal state. I was really suicidal because I was just like, I have nothing to live for and this darkness is never going to end and I might as well just get it over with now because the pain is too much to bear. And so when you called on Friday, I really took it as though Jesus was throwing me a life rope. He was throwing me a rope before I drowned in the ocean of depression. And
wow.
Yeah, and so that's why I seized the opportunity and asked if I could come down and pray with you. And I can see that Jesus was very merciful in that he had it that your husband Jeff was able to be there because we were under the impression that Jeff was going to have to work Friday night. And so
yeah.
He wouldn't have been able to participate in the prayer, but he was actually able to get Friday night off. And so he
so was actually it was scheduled off, you know, and he thought for some reason he had to go in, and then they told him it wasn't scheduled.
Well, that was a real grace from God because we were not expecting him to be there. And
right.
So you and your husband, Jeff, really were so gracious to me. You really got into the power of the Holy Spirit, and you laid hands on me, and you anointed me, and you prayed for me. And one of the things that we did for me is to work on getting back through prayer the joy of my salvation. As Jesus told, I forget which church it is in the Revelation, but he told one of the churches, go back to your first love. Go back to when you first discovered me, when you first understood who I am and that I paid the price for your sins, and that awe and wonder came over you. Go back to that. Go back to that first thing, your first love. And that, I believe, is what Jesus was calling me to do, to restore and renew the joy of my salvation and to make a decision to surrender to him. One of the things that the depression did for me is it very adversely affected my faith relationship with Jesus, because I was not sure, or I didn't know why this was being allowed to happen to me.
Especially like for the umpteenth time, because we had prayed with you before on these issues, you know, and just it just kept coming back to you. Yeah.
That's right. And yeah, you're absolutely right. We had prayed, and many of the things I shared with you were things that I've shared with you before. I think that I, in the past, was not ready to let go of it. I wasn't ready to let go. And I think I had to be brought to the point of being on the threshold of death in order for me to realize that the only solution is to surrender and to go back to the first love, to go back to the joy of my salvation, and to believe again. And so it was really an intervention that I believe literally saved my life. I really believe that. And I was just so grateful. And not only that, but you and Jeff were such wonderful hosts to me. You allowed me to stay overnight in your home. And
you were sleeping on that prayer couch. And
yeah.
You know, we had to draw Michael Talbot on, the lover and the beloved. And it was, you know, he sang about the dark night. And many people are in a dark night right now in transition. And there's something that the body of Christ is going through in general because of the changes that are coming, changes politically, physically, changes in the spirit as well. And and it seems like I've heard that album so many times, but when the Lord was applying it like to the situation, as we were praying through, you know, this for your breakthrough, it was like it just every word just was so real, became so real. I mean, how did you feel about that?
Oh, it was absolutely wonderful, and it was really a refreshment in the spirit that I needed. I needed to be refreshed, and I needed to be revived. And it was wonderful, and it started a momentum. I can't say that my depression is over just yet. I can't say that I'm 100% out of the woods, but it has started, since Friday night, it started a momentum of rising up and feeling the power of God, feeling his love. That's one of the things that happens when you're in depression, that you can't feel love. And you can't give love. And, of course, love is so essential to life.
You're numb.
Right. You're just totally numb. And so this experience that began with you and Jeff praying over me on Friday night and the Holy Spirit coming in and just Jesus really being present there and reaching his hand out to me in love, that was just a wonderful experience. And it was one that started momentum toward coming out of this dark depression.
Definitely. I'm telling you, it was equally a blessing for you as it was for me. It was the Lord's been calling me to another place in ministry to minister out of a state of rest. And I know you have a hard time with that at first, Tim, right? And you had to run out for a cigarette in the middle of, in between sessions, prayer sessions.
Right.
And I'm like, well, okay, you know.
Just
and
so the listeners, I think the listeners need to understand, though, when you have a wonderful couch. It's a single-person couch, and it's an anointed prayer couch, and that's what I slept on. But during the course of the prayer on Friday night, I got up out of that to have a cigarette. When I came back, you were there, and you were laying down, and I thought you were going off to sleep. So I kept sort of shaking you and waking you up and saying, hey, don't go off to sleep yet, you know. I still need more prayer. And you were explaining that you were, God was taking you to a place where you're able to rest and to anoint out of a spirit of rest. And I didn't understand that. I thought you were sleeping.
And it's received. Like my spiritual ears and my physical ears were open. Like I was hearing you, and then I would, you know, go off in the spirit and then I would be in a secret place with the Lord, and He was showing me things about, you know, what He was doing for you. And Jeff knows this about me, and I had to, you know, it took a while for me to understand that about me. I always thought I was rude whenever I go to an anointed place, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm falling asleep, but I'm getting pictures, I'm getting visions at the same time, and I really wasn't sleeping because my ears were open, but my eyes were closed, and so. The Lord has shown me not to resist that anymore, and things like that. And so it reminded me of the scripture where Jesus is in the boat, you know, with the storm coming. He was sound asleep, so the disciples thought. And he was going into that secret place, you know, and receiving from his Father. So, you know, so the storm, you know, and he also knew, you know, the Father may have been telling him about the storm and what he's doing, you know, and how he's to teach the disciples about, you know, remaining calm in the storm, and so he gets filled with the completely filled with the presence, because it was God. He has a dual nature, but in his priestly, on, you know, ministry, physical ministry, and when he was walking in the form of man, you know, he had the same properties of man, but you know, when he was in the spirit before he walked on water, I really believe God did a gravitational shift with him, and he poured his presence. Because there were times when I was in the throes of worship at Father Tom, and the glory would be so much that my weight, I couldn't feel my weight anymore. I felt like light as a feather. It was like a new dimension in the glory. And you know, I'm not a light person, you know, as far as weight is concerned. And so so I know it was the same with Jesus being Jesus, and so he was able to walk on the water.
Oh, wow.
You know, and then Peter, the presence of the Lord, so powerful that Peter was walking on the water for a while. Then he looked down, he looked at, you know, he thought about the law of gravity. I'm sure, I don't know if he called it the law of gravity then, but he looked down and he took his eyes up at Jesus, and he started to sink. And the thing being is that there's a place of rest in the Holy Ghost when people are praying with people, that as they wait on the presence of the Lord, you know, each time is, you know, it gets easier and easier and easier, and your heart is clear. You know, God will take you to that place. And you just have to just go with the flow, and but there were things that I was getting for Tim that I wouldn't have gotten if I was, you know, in another state, if I was in a state of like restlessness instead of restfulness, you know.
Well, and when you were in that state of restfulness, which I initially thought was sleeping, but you later pointed out was different, you did get a couple of prophetic words from me. Which you got the image of Jesus calling me forth by name, calling me forth like he called Lazarus out of the cave. And you also got an image of it's time to leave the playpen. Those are two things that really struck me from Friday night's prayer session, were those prophetic words that you got, which I think clearly came from the Lord. And it came to you out of that place of restfulness.
Yeah, and you know what? Well, you know, before I went into that state, I saw that there was a major disconnect between your head and your mind. You know, which a lot of people fall into that, you know, so easily because of the stress of living. that you were trying to conceive spiritual things with your head, but the Lord wanted you in your heart, right? So that's where the struggle lied. And so when I was in the state of restfulness, I saw a door open up, like I saw the tomb. The Lord brought me the tomb where Lazarus was, you know, about ready to come forth. And then I saw Jesus standing outside of that tomb. But then the Lord brought, he said, this is inside of him. And then, you know, and I saw how the Lord wanted to call you forth, Tim, out of that tomb, okay, of self. He wanted to call the real you, which is not, you know, the self that you think, but the spiritual self, the whole self, you know, to come forward and to rise from the tomb.
And that was a very powerful word, because that's what it's like when you're in a deep state of depression. You feel like you're in a tomb. You feel like you're basically dead, even though you're actually still physically alive. So that was really really spoke to me when you got that word.
Yeah, you know. And then the playpen. Then I saw you in the playpen. I think that might have been before the tomb situation, but, you know, again, I don't want to analyze it too much, but it was a really, see, that was showing me, the Lord was showing me that he's in control, and, you know, and that we have to be, if we're going to help somebody out, you know, in our counsel, in pastoral counseling, we've got to be willing to let go of all those areas of ourselves that we hold on to so we can hear what the Spirit is saying appropriately, you know.
Right.
To that place, you know. So, you know.
Well, it was absolutely wonderful, and I really appreciate it. And I think that the listeners should know that Jesus loves you, and sometimes that's the hardest thing to accept, because we may be in a place where we don't have a lot of self-love, and that may come from a number of reasons why that may have happened in a person's life.
Well, in your reasons, I mean, what, you know, what were the reasons that you learned that day, you know, what they were? I mean, you've known all along, but what's...
Well, for me, it had to do, in growing up, I suffered a lot of rejection, and that rejection made me feel like I was an outcast, and it made me feel that I was not worthy of love. And so that's where it all began for me. And what's happening at this point in my life is I've taken a lot of steps and spent most of my life trying to avoid pain, try to hide out from it, going into the cave and trying to hide out from the pain. And now this is the time in my life, this is the time right now that Jesus is walking me through that pain and healing me in the inner man. And so that's true, I think, for a lot of people. A lot of people who might be listening to this are in a place of a tremendous pain emotionally in their life, and they need to start somewhere. And where it starts is start with Jesus loving you and knowing that you're loved and accepted and you are called, and that there's a purpose and meaning to your life, and that God has a plan for your life.
And there's a purpose and meaning for that pain, because when you become healed up in that area or understand it, then you can help walk others through that same healing process.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. Nothing is wasted in the kingdom of God. And so a person who's been through an experience and becomes healed of that may be able to turn around and use that experience that they've been through to help others. As Joyce Meyer says, make your mess your ministry.
That's it in a nutshell. And that's what we want to do, you know, in Seek International Leadership School of Ministry. We're not calling the people that, you know, feel perfect in their own estimation. But, you can come as you are and, you know, come, you know, wanting to, you know, walk into your destiny, but understanding that you have, you know, things that, you know, you would like God to heal or show you what's the hindrance, and in your life that, you know, would block the flow of ministry. Because ministry, you know, is based on the inner man. So based on the health of the inner man, the spiritual health of the inner man.
Right, right.
Yeah. I wanted to share, we have 20 minutes on this broadcast, and I wanted to share this letter. Do you mind if I read the letter that you wrote me?
Oh, no. Go right ahead.
Yeah, it was so awesome. And of course, when we woke up, I thought, oh, because I remember telling you, Tim, we'd like to make you a nice breakfast, and, you know, like we did before. We remember how we went out to breakfast and things like that. I think one other time we did breakfast. I just wanted to you know, put a seal of it on it, and you know, and pray, and you know, and just, you know, love you out into the world, back out to, and to the, and it was a glorious day, and it was not you know, dreary New England weather. I think sometimes that has a lot to do with people's depression, but anyways. So, but it wasn't that. It was you left a note, and we were like wondering, is it that note, or is it a good note? I'm sorry that I doubted, but I read this. And it really blessed me. This is written 7 a.m. Saturday, June 13th, and you can interject anything in here, Tim, if. You see the need to do so, okay?
Okay.
Good morning. It says, good morning, Shirley and Jeff. I want to first thank you for spending so much time and energy in praying with me last night. It all began with you, Shirley, being attentive to the Holy Spirit when you put me on your in your heart yesterday afternoon, and you then called me. You both may have saved my life last night. I really was so low, so broken, so deeply depressed, and so hopeless for the future that I was truly ready to give up. Thank you for being there for me in one of the darkest hours of my life. I pull out the words of knowledge given last night that Jesus is calling me forth like Lazarus to arise from the dead, and that it is time to leave the playpen. These were accurate words, and it is the mission I face. I will want to pray with you again, as I still feel weak and feeble. You know, that's okay. That's humility. Shaky with my legs and butterflies in my stomach. I got up early today, and I am heading out early. Thank you again. All my love and appreciation, Tim. And later on that day, right? You came back after you went to church, and you just had some time by yourself. I think that's part of the process, you know.
Yes, it was, and I just didn't want to wake you guys up in the morning, but I didn't want to leave. It was such a powerful night. I didn't want to leave without expressing my appreciation. But then we did have a chance to get back together again. And we got to go to Mass. We got to go to church together, and that was great.
All three of us, and that seemed to be the icing on the cake, you know. I just wanted to thank God for the ministry of inner healing, and you know, and just how He leads us to do this. And I know that one of my crosses when I was 14 was because of certain things that were happening to me when I was younger that I could not disclose to anybody. It was a suicide. I tried to commit suicide when I was 14. And I really heard the Lord say that He's not going to allow this to go through, because I have to hold on to when I'm 18. But when I get older, my later part of my life, I will be helping more people not to commit suicide. That was one of the things as life gets darker. And I'm saying to myself, what is this, and see, that was a time where I'm like, is this me talking to me or God? I really believe that the Lord was always talking to me, like a lot of you out there. But we just wasn't in that place to have the faith to believe that He was talking to us, And now that I know, you know, as I'm living now the second half of my life, that was definitely indeed his voice. And it's just because I have lived there, been there and done that, bought the T-shirt, and, you know, and so when you're familiar with something, it's easier to put yourself in the other person's shoes, you know?
Right, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And, Tim, what? I really believe that's what the Lord, you know, that you're, even though you are a lawyer in the natural, you are going to be defending many people, before the Lord, and you are, you know, going to be there to help people out, to walk them through their pains, you know, to bring them back to their first love, you know, as the Lord shows you the way back to Him, and you are back with Him. It's just, I know that when a baby is, when they first start to walk, they want to walk, you know, they know they can take a couple of steps, you know, the toddlers, and but there's a point where their legs have to get stronger, you know, so they can walk more with a coordinated step, so they don't fall. But at first, you do fall a little bit because you get a little wobbly, and everybody's encouraging you, like, "Oh, you can do it, you can walk," you know. And each time, you know, there's a greater encouragement until the toddler can actually walk on their own two feet without tumbling over, you know. Sometimes they can even run and be a terror, but but the thing is, you know, that's usually how it is when we begin again, I call it. And we can have many begin agains.
That's one of the great things about God. He is so really wonderfully merciful, and His grace is so wonderful that He does give us a chance to start over. And that's what Jesus offers us, is a brand new life. Whoever comes to Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed and new things have come. So it's great, and I'm claiming that for myself, a new beginning.
Yeah. You know, and that's why it says in Scripture all the time, you know, we got to forgive. You know, one of the disciples asked Jesus how much you had to forgive our enemies, and he said, what, 99? You know, he said 7 times 77, something like that, which means that there's a more like a perfect whole number, and you know, the 7 is a sign of healing. As often as you think about it, as often, you know, you got to keep your heart supple and pure and fresh and not hard, and basically, you know, really, to be honest with you, the people that we need to keep constantly forgiving is ourselves, right? You know, and we often
talk. Well, that's a good point, because a lot of times we will come under self-condemnation. And, you know, I was experiencing, I was feeling a very, as if Jesus was condemning me. And I was feeling that way, feeling very condemned. And, of course, that's a deception. That's a lie.
That's not a false Jesus.
That's a false Jesus. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So your point that we need to forgive ourselves is a very well taken point, because yes, we really do need to do that. We need to forgive ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's loving ourselves, loving our neighbors as ourselves. And if we're not loving, you know, ourselves in that manner, then how can we love our neighbor? You know, and so we.
That's right. That's a good point. You know, exactly. I mean, we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves, but if there's a defect in loving ourselves, that defect will affect our ability to love others. So, and I'm a classic case in point. The big issue for me is lack of self-love, and that's impacted all of my relationships, which is why I'm sitting here today not in the married state, because I never felt worthy of love, and I blew every relationship that I had. So, and that's why lack of self-love has impacted my ability to love others. So that's another point well taken. We need to have a healthy, not a vain, not an egotistical, but a healthy sense of self-love in order to love others properly.
And you know, and we get that self-love when we unite ourselves fully to to the Lord in holy union with, with the Holy Spirit. And that's, we have to be espoused to the Holy Spirit, I believe, in order to receive that bridal love so that we can be married to somebody in the Holy Spirit,
Right, right. That's a good point. Shirley, I hate to disappoint you, but I'm at home and I'm being called for dinner. So,
wow.
So I'm hungry, so I don't want to miss this opportunity.
Oh, I already ate. Isn't that something? Well, listen, we have 9 minutes left, right? And just before you go, this one, I wanted to read this paragraph that I'm going to be putting on one of the videos on addictions, and it's like my third time up trying to upload that. I'm always uploading the wrong video. But anyways, it says right here, this is a quote from John Wimber from all those who were under his ministry from the Vineyard Church. It says, while sickness of the spirit is caused by what we do, sickness of the emotions is generally caused by what is done to us. It grows out of the hurts done to us by other persons or some experience we have been exposed to in the past. These hurts affect us in the present in the form of bad memories and weak or wounded emotions. This in turn leads us into various forms of sin, depression, a sense of worthlessness and inferiority, unreasoning fears and anxieties, psychosomatic illnesses, etc. Included in this are the present-day effects of the sins of the parents in the bloodline of a person. Thus, healing of past hurts touches the emotions and memories in the person's bloodline. So, we really have to really pray into those areas generationally. And we just touched upon that, but I really believe that on Friday, Tim, the ministry for you is to connect your heart, connect your mind, come to the Lord and get out of your mind and get into the heart, and then you have the Holy Spirit, have Jesus, give you the renewal of the mind, give you his mind and connect those two together. But first you had to get from your head to your heart. So,
right. That paragraph, it needs a surrender. But that paragraph that you just read from John Wimber, that was an excellent paragraph. And that he's got his finger right on the problem.
Yeah.
And so that was just an excellent thing. And I know that Jesus wants to heal us. It is not his desire that we live life opened up to the attacks of Satan, who wants to make us feel bad about ourselves. That is not God's will for us. So, so I think that the inner healing and the intergenerational healing is something that's necessary for all of us who suffered emotional hurts.
Yeah, and John and Paul Sanford, they're alive now, but John Wimber passed away. They have a ministry from Elijah, Elijah Streams, I think it is. And it says, Christian healing comes then not by making a broken thing good enough to work, but by delivering us from the power of that broken thing so that it can no longer rule us, and by teaching us to trust his righteousness to shine in and through that very thing. That's what we did on Friday. Those who are healing by restoring the self-image are causing people to trust themselves to be repaired in the flesh, a practice reshaped in their old carnal nature, doomed sooner or later to failure. Whereas the Lord heals by leaving the broken part right in place, overcoming it by its nature. Our trust as Christians can only always be solely in his righteousness in us, as us for us. So the focus of healing of past hurts is to release those hurtful memories in such a way that they no longer have a negative effect on the present or the future of the individual. This is primarily done through the act of forgiveness. So, knowing that, Tim, you need to get to your, to eat with your parents. But before you leave, can you pray into this? I really believe as you pray, as you step out of faith, you're already walking in forgiveness. But as you pray, all right, that's gonna, as you pray more into this with your, for yourself and for other people, like you're gonna do now, you are going to get a blessing. All right, today.
All right. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for the honor of asking me to pray.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we come before you and before your throne of grace, and we can come boldly before the throne of grace because Jesus, the Lamb of God, died for our sins and opened the door to heaven. and open the door for us to come before you. We humble ourselves before you, and we give you thanks, Father, for all of the blessings that you've given us in our lives, and for the blessing of the friendship with Shirley, and for the blessing of this internet radio that may be reaching untold numbers of people. And Father, I ask now that you, that this program will have reached people who are suffering from emotional hurt, who may be suffering from depression, who may be suffering from a low self-esteem, which is affecting their entire life, and that all wrapped up in that is all kinds of anger and resentment, lack of forgiveness, all of these negative and unhealthy emotions that do not help a person to live the life that you have called them to live. And Jesus suffered on the cross. He suffered scourging so that by his stripes we can be healed. And so, Father, I call forth the power of the Holy Spirit. I call forth the power of the Holy Spirit to come now and start to heal in the inner man, to start to heal in the inner person, the healing that needs to take place for all those who are emotionally hurt, all of those who are suffering from depression. And as I'm speaking to you right now, Shirley, and praying on this, I'm looking, I have a TV on with the volume down, and there is an ad for an antidepressant on right now. And the tagline is, depression hurts. And that is so true. Depression hurts. And it is not God's will that people live this darkened state. This is a state of demonic oppression. And it is not a state of where God wants us to live. So we're calling forth healing. We're calling forth a new day. We're calling forth sunshine and love and forgiveness and cleaning and cleansing, all of which was made possible by what Jesus did. Heavenly Father, we ask for healing in the inner person, the inner man and the inner woman. We call this forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we call it forth in the name of Jesus of Nazareth.
And we say new people, arise, come forth.
Amen. I receive that and I accept that.
Amen.
Well, Shirley, this has been absolutely wonderful, and I'm really glad that I was able to come onto the radio with you and to share this time together. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So I got to get going now, but I want to say a special blessing to you. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless your husband, Jeff, and may your ministry continue to be fruitful and bear fruit for the kingdom of God as it is already. Father God, I ask that you bless Shirley and Jeff in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And let's say an Our Father before we leave.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give
us this day our daily bread.
Give us
our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And
lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Kingdom and the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. All right.
Amen.
Enjoy your meal.
Thank you, Shirley.
Give your parents a hug for me. God bless you.
I will. God bless you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. And I just wanted to thank everybody for listening to Blog Talk Radio. And feel free to visit our YouTube station, youtube.com/WSTK and WSCIRO. We uploaded a whole bunch of wonderful Holy Spirit-filled videos, and I believe one of them is going to be on addiction. We did a special segment on addiction, on Faith Talks, Live Prayer, and praying with your loved ones who are going through the addiction. So, anyways, I think that's it. All right, God bless you. Bye-bye.